1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Federal authorities say they've stopped what could have been a violent attack on churches in Idaho. An 18-year-old named Alexander Mercurio under arrest. The FBI says he planned to use explosives, machetes, and firearms to carry out the attack, which is said to have been inspired by last month's ISIS targeting of a concert hall in Russia.
It's fairly common for copycat crime to occur, where would-be suspects see an attack, note that it's successful, and then they start thinking that they can pull off something maybe just as successful.
Former FBI Special Agent Brad Garrett, now an ABC News contributor. A judge in New York denying Donald Trump's last-minute attempt at getting his hush money case thrown out or moved out of Manhattan. Hamas said to be considering the latest ceasefire on the table at a peace talk in Cairo, Egypt. And UConn with a big win over Purdue last night to take its second NCAA men's basketball title in a row. This is ABC News. A woman in Arizona pleading guilty after prosecutors say she tried to poison her husband by putting bleach in his coffee. Melody Johnson was caught on a hidden camera. She will be sentenced next month. Prosecutors are asking for 2 years behind bars. New allegations against a railroad owned in part by one of the richest people on the planet.
BNSF Railway, owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, is accused of allegedly exposing thousands of people to toxic asbestos dust. The railroad hauled vermiculite from a nearby mine through Libby, Montana over decades. How much BNSF knew about the health hazard is at the heart of the wrongful death lawsuit trial that started Monday. Attorneys for the railroad say it was told repeatedly that the product was safe. Libby was one of the deadliest EPA Superfund sites, now cleaned up. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And lottery officials in Oregon say the winner of the $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot has now come forward, but so far, no name has been released. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Beautify your entertainment space with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hi, this is Gina Della from Pella. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home has never been easier. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden unveiling a new student loan forgiveness plan at a stop in Madison Monday. Up to $20,000 in interest would be canceled for the 25 million Americans who owe more now than they first borrowed.
While a college degree still is a ticket to the middle class, that ticket's becoming much too expensive.
And borrowers who make less than $120,000 a year could have their interest canceled. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican bill that would have let 14- and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin work without getting a state permit or their parents' permission. The Republican bill was part of a wider push to roll back child labor laws in Wisconsin. Evers says asking more kids to work is not a serious solution to the state's worker shortage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks reload. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks will try and snap a four-game losing streak at home when they host the number one seed Boston Celtics tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Chris Middleton losing a tooth Sunday night after getting knocked in the face by former Bucks guard Dante DiVincenzo. He's now with the Knicks. It happened in the second quarter. Doc Rivers.
He went to the dentist, so yeah, I think he had to have dental surgery would be my guess. Not good, but It is what it is.
The Celtics have won 8 of their last 10 games. Baseball, the Brewers fell behind 8-0 last night in Cincinnati, but nearly came back. The Reds went on to win 10-8 over Milwaukee. It was the first time in over a year left-hander Aaron Ashby pitched following shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I thought Ashby was great. I really do. I mean, I didn't expect him to be that good. He threw great changeups, got a lot of swings and misses on it. For his first Major League start in a while, I thought he did great and deserves to be with us again.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 58 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 39. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 68. It's going to be cloudy, showery, and a bit cooler Thursday with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minow, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minow and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Yeah!
CD Clips.
Where are Jim?
Yes. What?
Todd?
Yeah, we're here.
What's up?
Turn this where off. Are you? Where, Jim?
What are you talking about, Johnny? You didn't use those special glasses. See, I told you.
Todd, keep talking. Warmer? Warmer? I told you guys what I did yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You didn't really do that.
So
did you?
Scientific. Yeah, I did. Oh my God. So Johnny goes out to his deck to watch Eclipse, and he like puts his hands over his eyes and then like opens his
pinky, a little bit.
Just a little bit, like you see, like he's cheating on a test or something. So good idea.
But I didn't see anything. I missed the eclipse.
You should have got those glasses. They were free at the library. You can walk there. You live down here.
But I kept waiting for it to get dark. I was sitting in my room and I was on my computer and I kind of had the blinds open a little bit. And it's like, well, as soon as it starts getting dark a little bit, I'm going to run out. And it never really got dark, did it?
A little bit, but really it's more to see the moon pass in front of the sun. And it passed probably 3/4, right, Todd? Maybe?
I would think so, yeah.
Close to 3/4. You could just see the crest of the moon. It was kind of cool. Through those glasses, though, I want to remind you. Nobody would be stupid enough to look through their fingers. I don't think so. Hey, but we both have daughters in New York.
Yeah.
It got that we're in, Wisconsin wasn't really in the path. I mean, it was a little bit more Tennessee. There's Ohio, Indiana. So we didn't get the full eclipse, but my daughter said it got dark in New York. That would just think about before there was the advance warning.
Yeah, what people must have thought, huh?
It's the end.
Well, wasn't that in one of the movies, though? We used to have to watch, when I was a kid, every Friday night before Easter, it was either The Robe or, there are a couple of them.
For sure.
That you had to watch. And wasn't one of them about that where it was the eclipse? And people didn't know what it was, and they fell to their knees, and they're praying. And
well,
all
when
this.
They say it went dark when Christ was on the cross,
you think that was an eclipse?
Yeah, I don't.
That's when St. Peter looked up from his welding mask.
we read that part where I went to school.
Oh yeah,
no, we lose that.
Yeah,
this is cool. Donate your eclipse glasses. That's good. We don't want to put them in the landfill.
Okay, school children in South America, so they can safely watch. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Eclipses happen all the time. They just happen.
Do they?
Yeah,
but the next one's not for like 44 years.
No.
I'm gonna definitely get glasses for that one.
Yeah, no, John. Well, yeah, I'm gonna be watching that from a different angle.
way up,
well, or down.
I'll be down looking way up.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, they happen often, every couple months or something. But it's usually over the ocean, or isn't that? Did I read that? Heard that somewhere?
I did not know.
Yeah. Anyway, here. Yes, here in America, it's going to be a while.
Okay. Today is National Library Day. I love libraries. I could live in a library.
Yep.
That was always one of my dreams when I built a house to have my own library. I never did. And I wish I would have.
You want a library in your house?
Yeah, but you know what I'd like to do? And then go to those used book sales, which I love, okay? No, don't give me... I buy lots of books at the used book sales, all right?
Hardcover, softcover?
Both. Mm-hmm. So what I wish I would have... What I wanted to do was fill up my library room with books I haven't read. You know, because, you know, you read a book, then you put it on a shelf, it's like, okay. But, so I'd have my own library. Like, you go down some nights, what am I in the mood for? A little mystery, a little fiction, a little biography, and have like 1,000 books. Wouldn't that be fun?
I think libraries are cool.
I do too.
In a house.
Love them.
And
you know what else I wanted, though? I wanted one of those sliding ladders. You know, you see those bookstores?
Like big time library.
Yeah.
Oh, where you go up the ladder?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, now that's...
How cool would that be?
We better sell a hell of a lot more advertising.
I know, a lot more in a short time. The window is closing. The window is about as open. The window is about as open as my fingers were trying to see the eclipse yesterday.
We got a ways to go.
But here it is. The greatest story ever told.
Yes.
That's when the sky turned. That's the movie. Also, John Wayne made a cameo in that? I did not know that.
Either.
Okay, but yes, the greatest story ever told. I know there was another, because it was The Robe and then The Greatest Story Ever Told are the two we always... I want to say Ben-Hur, too, but that wasn't religious, right? No. No. I mean, they still walk around in the skirt things, but it wasn't... No. Different era things. Well, you know what I mean? With the warriors.
We don't picture those guys. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Today is also National Unicorn Day. All right. It's also National Gin and Tonic Day. Do you know the history of the gin and tonic?
No.
Want me to tell you it?
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad, yeah, I like gin and tonic.
I'm going to tell you the history.
Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, back there, there's a lot of things. You know why Americans used to call, or why English people got the term limeys, right?
L-I-M?
Limeys. Because they were all dying. All the British sailors were dying of scurvy because they weren't getting enough vitamin C.
Okay.
Okay. So then what they started doing is they actually came up with a mixture. British doctors came up with a mixture of, it wasn't just limes, but they'd like dry the limes and like grind them up and everything like that. And they're like a powder form. And they told the guys to take like a spoonful of this powder every day to get your vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was so horrific tasting. A lot of guys couldn't, they would throw up and it would just, you know, obviously it didn't work. They were throwing up. It was so bad. Other guys couldn't swallow. Other guys were like, their throats would actually constrict.
Wow.
So they said, well, we got to mix it with something. So you know what they have the most of anything in the world? Even more than water? Gin. So they started mixing it with gin. And that's how gin and tonics were formed. From the British Navy, the British seamen, back in the day, because they couldn't swallow the dried out limes, and they mixed it with gin, and that's the invention of the gin and tonic.
Okay.
What?
Todd, that's not something you'd learn in school. I don't know. I guess I would have thought a bartender was like, hey, there's
no,
a bottle of gin
this
here.
This is
tonic,
the history.
I'm going to mix these two together. Wow, what a drink. That's refreshing.
This is the history of it. I'm a big fan of how things originated.
Yeah, that's...
I'm a big fan of how things originated.
I like... If I hear something that's been said forever, I like to Google it and see where it came from.
Okay, you want me to give you another one?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a little more...
I just did this the other day.
Okay. A pot to pee in.
Right. See, that's the kind of stuff that
I...
Do you know where that comes from? Probably before there was indoor plumbing.
Yep.
I would say military.
Nope. Early days of settlements here, okay? The thing they used to use for the acid or whatever to tan skins was urine, okay? And families basically... collect it in their pot, take down, they get paid for it from the tanneries. But some people couldn't even afford a pot.
He can't even afford a pot to pee in.
That's where
that came from?
That's where
that came
from.
That makes sense.
I know.
So that's pretty poor because everybody's got urine.
Yes.
And they couldn't even put it in a storage container to take it down and get money.
Yes.
See, I think that's interesting.
I do too. I love those kinds of
things. I will tell that story again today. I don't know where or when, but yes.
I think you should just go on the street.
World history according to Mino.
You look too poor to even have a pot to pee in there, buddy.
Those are interesting where those things came from.
I know.
Yeah. Speaking of on the street, yesterday, did you go for your walk?
Let me think. Yesterday? No.
Were there?
It wasn't on my scheduled day.
Uh-huh.
I'm going today, though. I need to go today. You know why I need to go today?
Because we're going out
I'm going to that food thing tonight.
I know. all those restaurants. That's going to be fun. $40.
You know what's kind of fun yesterday?
Eight or nine restaurants?
I went to Happy Joe's Pizza for lunch. I haven't been to Happy Joe's. And I even figured out it was 2006 was the last time I was at Happy Joe's.
Wow.
It's kind of fun going to a little place like that, just eating all the different types of pizza.
They haven't really changed a whole
lot. Nothing. I still wanted to play some skeet ball to try to win some stuff.
They opened up, you know, I think their initial plans were to really franchise that. But they have another store in Iowa. But I don't think they really took off. But they have great service. They have great fresh food. And it's fun for the kids to watch.
Absolutely.
Go out on those little steps, watch them make the pizza. We used to go there all the time when our kids were here. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Got anything? Your famous line by John Wayne, "Truly he was the son of God." That's the only line he had in the movie. Wow. Interesting.
Wow. That's a very powerful line, too.
You want to know the role that almost ended his career? John Wayne's?
Well, I know what ended his airport.
Yeah. Genghis Khan. He played Genghis Khan. And it's, yeah. What?
Nothing. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. No, yesterday, we were talking.
You know, we think we're related to hordes that used to go through northern Italy. I got some relatives. They look very Asian. Very Asian. We think the hordes may have interbred.
With the Italians?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they would. That's a pretty cloistered group.
They got around. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yesterday, I want to, if we have all those kids.
I almost spit my Diet Coke out my nose when you did that.
Sorry. Hello, Genghis. How you doing?
Anyway.
Hi, big boy.
I
you look awesome in fur. Just telling you.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Yesterday, there were so many kids walking around. Remember, we saw that?
Is that your sword or you just, never mind.
No, that.
Sorry.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So yesterday, I was out yesterday afternoon, and actually last night, and they were everywhere.
I know.
Fusions.
I saw them all walking for lunch when I was coming back. Yeah. Good-looking kids, too, aren't they, though? I mean, clean cut, well-dressed kids. If you go in for a job interview, you're making a great impression.
Isn't that like the elite? Isn't that the future business leaders of America?
FBLA? I believe that's what it
was. That's what it was, yeah.
Okay.
So you don't just sign up. You got to qualify to get in there.
I mean, I'll be honest. When we saw them walking by at first, I thought that was a business.
Right.
I thought it was like Schreiber was having a bunch of their employees come in. They look so professional.
White shirts.
Yeah.
Tucked in.
Yeah. It looked great.
So yesterday, and you know, they were at, like I said, Glass Nickel because I was on Broadway. And just a ton of them. And I was going to just get out of the car and say, hey, look, can you come on our show tomorrow?
Yeah.
I just think that's an interesting convention.
Totally agree.
And there's got to be, what, 500 people there?
And I'll tell you what, the talent pool probably in those rooms.
And it was a diverse, not as many. There's just, it's just a lot of people that are, you could tell, they're the elite people that are going to run this country someday. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is that was so impressive. Like I said, they just look so professional.
Right, and they, yeah.
Because I've been at things where they ask the high school kids to, you know, dress, and it'll be shirts out, old jeans, and not
tennis shoes.
And the thing, and I'm not talking about disadvantaged kids. I'm talking about kids whose families have a lot, and they would, you know, we've all seen that in schools.
They try to fit in more. And these people, I think, had a lot of confidence.
They're like, this is what I'm doing?
Right.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Too bad. Stay out of my way.
I thought that was pretty cool. And then the other thing is I've been on some people in this town are colorblind. So they, you know, the light will be red and they'll still walk in front. Those kids, I'm not saying this, that a lot of good kids, but they just stood there. And there wasn't any cars coming either. And they didn't try to.
You know what I mean? A guy actually yelled at me after the Garth Brooks concert. When I crossed him, and he goes, that's what crosswalks are for.
Yeah, I didn't know it was you.
And so I said, my bad. I won't do it again. I promise. If you forgive me this once, I will never do that again. That's what I yelled back to him.
I yell out, kid.
Yeah.
Are you colorblind?
All right, we got to send our quick break. We have a huge
show, folks. This is
going
to be fun
today. I mean, huge. Big Wayne coming up to see if the bees survive the eclipse. Jill Bassett, Play Bistro. Really excited to have
her.
Stacy Ryan, an incredible author. And Terry Barr. Stay with us. We are loaded.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes or organic garden mulch or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, Johnny's out getting some, what's that stuff you put in your eyes?
Eclipse?
It's called Visine or something. So
what? Yeah. They still make that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah. Oh, just yeah. Get your eyes squared away from
it. I had a
cheating
doctor tell me that was worse for your eyes than putting nothing in.
I don't like.
Because that's what I heard, too.
Did you remember that? Yeah.
Right.
I think my dad was actually addicted to the stuff.
Really?
Yeah, because he had dry eyes.
I used to have a bad allergy where it would affect my eyes. It wouldn't affect my sinuses. It would affect my eyes. And you just want to rub them. You know what I mean? All the time. It felt like if you swam in a pool with like a lot of chlorine type thing.
But
and it was from grass. I was like allergic to grass. So I went through so much Visine, and it never helped. Nothing really helped until I went to the doctor and got an actual thing.
Yeah, and then like the rest of us, we're the same age. You used Visine when you smoked.
All the time.
First, after you smoked weed to get the red out. John, don't you play this like righteous like altar boy when you're here on the air, and then we get off the air. It's like, oh yeah, that stuff is awesome. Used it all the time. So
I've never heard John say that.
Do the hot mic thing. Do the hot mic, and I'll prove my point.
Todd, what's he talking about?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, okay. Now you're ganging up.
Oh my god.
Now you're ganging up on me.
No, we're not.
I would never.
And no, you two guys, no.
I could be 100% honest. I never smoked pot in high school. Not once. Never smoked a cigarette in my life. Is that something?
Yes. I. You sound convincing.
I did. I've never smoked a cigarette. Yeah. I've never smoked a full cigarette. Had some cigars like when you're golfing or bachelor party type things or whatever. But yeah. Right. Yeah.
See, and when I was in college, we could smoke in class.
I know. You told me that.
I did. Ashtrays on the table.
Yeah.
On the table.
Well, actually, that's what we used to call junior colleges that I went to. We called them high schools with ashtrays.
I don't think the dean would like that at St. Norbert. But yeah, we did. It was crazy. And the other thing, I think, I don't know what the percent is. I mean, now what percent of people smoke? It's got to be less than 10. But I'm sure it was at least 50. At least.
Oh, easy. I don't know if I can find a picture of my youth, if my parents are in it, or my older brothers, where somebody doesn't have a cigarette.
Right.
If somebody doesn't have a cigarette in their hand.
And they smoke.
All the way across the board. I mean, my mom, my aunts, my cousins, my uncles, my brothers.
Right.
Everybody's. Can you imagine, like, in those little living rooms back
then? I just was reading a text. Yeah. John doesn't inhale. Now, that's what he's saying. I would agree with that. All right.
But can you imagine the living rooms of those houses back in the day at like Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Todd, you grew up with that too?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the secondhand smoke you must have inhaled?
Oh. And when our oldest daughter was born, we would go to my parents, my in-laws lived in Nanigal, and she had asthma really bad. We couldn't stay there. And they're like, we won't smoke when she's here. But it's the drapes, it's
absolutely
the carpeting, it's the furniture. So we'd get a hotel. They're a little bit offended by that, but it's like,
well, we've both been in real estate, we've both shown houses.
Oh my God,
where,
right.
Oh boy.
So yeah, it's that, you talk about changes in everybody's iPhone, which is true, internet, but that smoking has just, it's unbelievable how that's changed in what, 30 years?
I remember the first house I bought in Alloway, and it was really looked great, looked wonderful upkeep, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lady moves out, we go to move in. And every place she had a photo hanging, a picture hanging, was a different color underneath than the walls. And it was like, you want to talk about an ookie feeling of...
Yes.
Oh,
that's all smoke.
Oh, that's all smoke.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it was the most... You ever watch the TV show Mad Men?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's my favorite show of all time.
Jim, I think you'd actually like that.
I do, too.
If you like Suits.
Oh, Suits is great. This is almost like Suits
set in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm... Was that what... That's, I, I'm
well, it's about advertising.
Show.
But it's just like the biggest advertisers in the country were cigarette advertising. They had the biggest budgets in the country.
Yeah. This isn't Charlie Sheen, that one?
No.
That was Wall Street.
No. What's the mad thing? No, all right, I don't know what I'm talking
what?
About. I thought there was a sitcom with him that was Mad Men.
Two and a half men? Two and a half men?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, well, sorry.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm trying to follow you. And I didn't... You said Mad Men. I'm trying to think.
Two different things. Completely different things.
But in that TV show,
everybody's smoking all the time.
Yeah.
Women with kids in the car, all that stuff is happening. Yeah. And we grew up with that and somehow survived it.
Well, yeah. Do you remember when smoke-free and then it's like, you want to kind
of on an airplane, it's like, I'll sit in the non-smoking section.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to be right behind the guy smoking.
Or restaurant, right?
Restaurants. Yeah. Yeah. You walk through a big cloud. To get to, like, your section.
And you could smell that in those restaurants when they had smoking, non-smoking. But then when the state mandated that, part of me, like, I get public health. But, boy, this guy's an entrepreneur, and you're going to tell him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I was at the bowling alleys. Remember how we kind of felt sorry for him?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I remember one day in the Packers press box, this would be in the 80s, and they came around with a form to vote. If you wanted smoking banned in the press box
really?
Or not.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how'd you guys vote? Because those guys
must
smoke.
It was banned. Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of the older guys did, and the younger guys didn't.
I picture those guys.
That's the way it pretty much was. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's a good thing. And that was.
I got a thing. I watched a film of Lombardi the other day, and he would have parties in his basement after games, and pretty much everybody was smoking. I've seen that, Terry. I've seen those pictures, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All smoking. Phil Bankston used to smoke during the games. I remember that. When he was Packers head coach, he would smoke during the games.
My high school teacher of mine at Roncalli became the chaplain for the Lions.
Oh.
At halftime, those guys would light up.
Oh, yeah. In the locker room, in their uniforms.
I remember telling him, really? He goes, oh, yeah.
When the Packers renovated one of the years in the late 70s, early 80s, they had ashtrays built into the guys' lockers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I never really saw that. The only team I used to see smoke was the Brewers back in the 80s when it would be like Ted Simmons and Pete Vukovich and Caldwell. They were some hardcore guys. Gorman Thomas probably was one of them. And they would all smoke.
And they would smoke to smoke. It wasn't like they were getting advertising.
No,
they
were just sitting in the thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's changed.
I've got a picture on my Facebook. I posted it years ago, and I just saw it still in my saved pictures. And it's from the 50s, and it is the top athletes in the United States. I mean, it is Ted Williams and Stan Musial and all these huge Otto Graab. And I mean, the biggest names there were in all of sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in one Chesterfield ad. I'll even show it to you. Maybe I'll post it to my Facebook and say, boy, have things changed?
They have from society, but they've also changed significantly in pricing. When you and I were in those machines, 50 cents a pack, now it's, what, $7? I have no idea how much cigarettes
cost. I don't
know. I think it's
Todd,
like,
do you smoke?
No.
Okay. How much is a pack of cigarettes? Do they even still have machines where you can buy
them? You can't. Nope.
Oh, okay.
You'd have to put in a 10.
They took them out so that it was not accessible to kids. Remember, they did the whole
thing.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
That would be cool to have.
An old cigarette machine.
But they, I don't think smoking's, I think smoking's bad. I'm not going to say I don't think it's good. Smoking is bad, but they didn't have a really, really strong lobby group. So it was kind of like this, they got really taxed. I mean, had it been, people who smoke, they just weren't as organized to fight the taxes. Because that's all taxes. I mean, the cost of a cigarette it's gone up a little bit, but it hasn't gone up, the way the taxes have. And whatever. I think that was a good thing. A lot of deterrence. First of all, there's so many places you couldn't smoke, and then they tried to price you out of the market. So there's some people who are just like, I'm done.
What?
But there's still people who smoke. Wow. Anyway, that was a good thing. All right. We did this.
Absolutely.
And we got caught.
Yes, indeed. Big Wayne is coming up. Joe Bassett from Play Bistro is coming up. Stacey Ryan, a great local author. Terry Barr. We got a little something for everybody. Stay with us. Mono and the Mayor. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Fingers.
Winged Fingers!
That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Fingers.
The Winged Fingers.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Regardless of your age or background, the opportunity for summer camps, it's still out there. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Tuesday. And now is the time to get your kids signed up. Details on the way.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
4-H camps across the state of Wisconsin give young people an opportunity to not only be away from mom and dad for a little while, but also network with other young people they otherwise wouldn't meet. Marie Witzel, who is the Dodge County 4-H Extension agent, says it also gives them an opportunity to learn some new skills they might not otherwise be exposed to.
Though the basic things are still the same. We try to create that sense of belonging and kids all getting together and doing something together and working as a team and maybe mastering some skills, trying some new things that they haven't done. One of the things that has been pretty popular in my county in particular recently has been archery. And so that's one of the things that we also offer at our summer camp. And even at our state 4-H camp, they offer archery a lot. And so kids maybe never have tried that before, but it's a chance to try it and then say,
That's Marie Witzel. She is the Dodge County 4-H Extension Specialist, and she's encouraging parents and 4-Hers to investigate their 4-H summer camp opportunities today. Best way to start? Check in at your county extension office.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau helps our organization advocate for agriculture by putting us at the table with the right individuals. I've heard a lot of times that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu when it comes to ag policy. We need people to help us make the right connections, get in front of the right people and policymakers that are affecting decisions that impact agriculture.
WFBF.com.
You should look them up.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
And Wisconsin farmers and gardeners are still keeping their fingers crossed we'll pick up a little bit more moisture. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows statewide 62% of our topsoil has adequate soil moistures. The subsoil moisture, 59% adequate across the state. As of Sunday, 4% of our oats were in the ground, and about 5% of our spring tillage was already complete. The winter wheat conditions, 61% of that crop currently rated good. There's your quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 58 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 39. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 68. It's going to be cloudy, showery, and a bit cooler Thursday with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is April Fool's Day. Did you fall for any jokes today, Conrad?
Well, I guess I did fall for one, but it was unfair because it happened last week.
Yeah, what the heck?
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven.
We both fell for that, but it's not even... It's like, after the Kurter Burger, I'll believe anything. I could believe it was hot dog water, and that was like March 26th. That's so lame.
They actually did make it, though. Good. Got some people to actually drink it.
Suckers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz?
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 6:34 and a beautiful morning. 38 degrees in Green Bay, 43 already in Appleton, 40 in Oshkosh, no real wind out there. Coming your way on 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and the Civic Media app. We got great guests coming on, including this man who must have been just kind of like white knuckling it yesterday to see if the kids, you know, were going to be all right. Big Wayne, who, by the way, Wayne. Now you're talking. Let me talk, okay, Wayne? Is that okay?
Wayne, he's the host.
Okay, sir. Okay. I'm just excited.
Yes.
I know, but we just, first thing we want to do is give you kudos for a fantastic interview you did on our statewide network yesterday about the eclipse affecting wildlife and bees and things like that. You sounded outstanding.
You did. You really, and we're not just, you really did. We're like, who's that? That's Wayne. No, it's not.
Are we?
See, Mayor, I kind of do know what I'm talking about, but John always just kind of, he tries to trap me into telling
He tries to dumb you down so he doesn't feel intimidated. So, yes.
I'm on your side now.
I kept waiting for the story about, and then one time I got hit by a snowplow.
He did say that. He did say that yesterday. So. How are you? How did your bees survive? Was it the eclipse? Did it affect
them? Yeah, so there was the sensors that I use, it's from a company called Broodminder down by Madison Stoughton, and they teamed up with University of La Crosse, and they were doing an experiment. They wanted to see if there was any behavior changes with the honeybees during the eclipse. And I think a lot of people might have seen this, but there was a student from Cambridge University a couple years ago, and she was doing an experiment. She had honeybees in a kind of like a glass bubble that they couldn't leave, and she had a fluorescent light in there, and she turned the light off and immediately the bees dropped to the ground. And so that went viral a couple years ago. So I think just the non-knowers kind of thought like, oh, what's going to happen to all the insects and everything? So anyway, no bees dropped to the ground yesterday, especially in our area. I think we were only at like 86% coverage and everything. So, but what Broodminder was doing is they placed these units called BDARs on hives at 200 locations through the totality from Texas to Northeast. And so anyhow, how these BDARs work, it's actually a radar on the front of the hive, and it measures the activity of the honeybees, the foraging activity. And then on the backside is actually a vibration sensor, so they can monitor the activity inside the hive. So
I don't think your dog agrees with you.
Yeah, I don't think so. He's like, no, Dad, that's not what happened.
That's the problem with being called.
Hey, but Wayne, what about...
I'm sorry.
What about the places where it did go dark, like for 3 minutes? Did that... You said it didn't affect here, because I didn't think it was 86%. Todd and I were talking, I thought it was a little bit less than that. But even at 86% coverage here, it got a little bit dark, but... In some of those paths, it got dark, like in very quickly for like 3 minutes. Did it affect those bees?
Well, I haven't seen the results yet, but what happens is bees, obviously, in all insects, they're in tune with the environment. So just like it acted like a rain event. So what happens is they can see a change in the environment. So then what happens is, so what I saw and I posted today, 9:36 a.m. they went out to forage just like they always do, and it's interesting because they do that around the same time every day, and they do that because of sunlight because they navigate by the sun. And so then at usually peak forage time is around 3 o'clock, which makes sense because that's the peak hours. But yesterday the peak forage time was noon. So you could tell that they could sense something changing, you know, just like rain clouds coming in. So then they came back to the hive at 1:28 p.m., just in time to get their seat on the landing board and put their glasses on to watch the eclipse. And then it was interesting, right after peak hour at 2:11, then they went back out and then they went back to forage, and then their secondary peak forage time was 4:28. The only interesting thing that I saw was usually they come back about 6:13 p.m. when the sun starts to go down. They actually stayed out an hour later. So turns out they don't get paid time off for special events.
Maybe. Like, but it did affect them, huh? They did sense that something weird was going on. Because, you know, we had Carrie on yesterday from the DeYoung Family Zoo up in Wallace, Michigan. And she said, you know, some of those animals go by the, what's it called, Todd? Do you remember the something clock?
Circadian
clock.
Circadian rhythm. Yeah. Well, what happens is they just basically, it's just like they act like it's that time of the night, like it's 6 o'clock at night. They just basically they quiet down and it's going dark. And then, you know, obviously then when the sun comes back out, they're like, oh, I'm sure they're kind of confused for a little bit. But from what I see, and I highly doubt, you know, in the path of totality, there was probably not any panic. But what other things that they were looking for, like, because in the complete darkness, they are having some of the beekeepers that have observation hives that you can actually, you know, see in. And they were checking to see if there's any special waggle dancing going on. And that's how bees communicate within the hive. They actually stick their tails up and they dance.
That's what Jim does in bars.
Yeah, that's the old waggle dance.
I've seen Jim at
the old waggle dance.
At the end of the banquet, there's the mayor doing the waggle dance.
There he goes again.
Yep.
Those gin and tonics. Yep. Calm down.
The mayor never inhaled, though.
Hey, wait, I got to ask you something. You mentioned something that my dad was a firm believer in. Okay, my dad was a diehard trout fisherman. I mean, that was just his passion like you can't believe. That was his favorite thing in the world was trout fishing, okay? Mm-hmm. And he swore by the Solinger tables, and he always said that every day had a major feeding period and a minor feeding period. And that almost correlates to what you were just saying about the two different times when they go out and forage, and it was always based on the moon. So there is something to be said about that, huh?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean that's the thing is they live in the environment, so there's environmental cues that they go by that us humans just don't pay attention to.
Well, it was called the Solinger tables. It was called the Solinger tables.
Oh.
I'm sure.
What I think is cool, what Wayne was saying, is that animals, they knew before something was happening.
Yeah.
And
they sensed it.
Oh, yeah, they can
they
sense
should,
for sure. They sense
they
it.
Should send a resume to some of our weather people in this community.
Oh, my God.
Like, they,
Todd,
they,
give the disclaimer.
They
Todd,
know.
Hang on, Jim. We got to do the disclaimer.
But they know.
You
they
have
know.
To, we have to give the disclaimer.
Birds know.
When
bees know.
Jim, please let Todd do it. This is FCC regulation. Go ahead, Todd.
The views of Jewish Men are not the views of Civic Media, WGBW, WISS, or anyone else that works here.
Oh,
or even
my
listens.
Views.
Yeah, I would argue instead of the peak whatever eclipse time was supposed for us was supposed to be like 2:09. I think it was 1:28 because that was when the bees did the big U-turn.
There you go.
And came back.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
But weather, you know, rain, all that stuff. The animals, I don't know why we go and watch TV. Those animals know what's happening. And then, oh, no, Phil gets out there. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Talks for 8 minutes, says nothing.
Oh,
I just don't know why
Lord.
We can't. I don't know.
I could not more vehemently disagree with anything you've ever said okay, than what you just said.
All right.
Plain and simple.
Okay. John.
Wow.
All right. I just think I just want to reemphasize what Wayne said, who knows animals and bees, that they're pretty good predictors of that something's going to happen. Maybe not exactly what's going to happen.
Well, don't they say crickets or something? You can
no, birds, I think.
No, I think it's crickets by the sound of their chirping or the number of chirps.
They don't chirp.
Crickets don't chirp. Okay, what do?
They rub their legs together.
When they rub their legs together, it means something weather-wise.
Well, chirp sounds like a bird. But they don't make the noise for their throat. They make it through their legs rubbing. Wait. Right, Wayne?
Hey, John would be a great cricket then, rubbing those thighs.
All those thighs, right? I know. You can hear it coming.
You have the female crickets just surrounding him.
Yeah, we play that game. Todd and I close our eyes and say, who's coming? Oh, it's mine. It's
especially if he's got corduroys on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the old Bush had to wear to church with the buckles. Yeah. That is the truth, though, with those things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing crazy to report on my end, but we were pretty far away from it. So it'd be interesting to see the reports, you know, from the path of totality to see if there was any special events that went on.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see because that totality was really kind of cool. I mean, it obviously wasn't there, but some of those places, I mean, it got dark for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in some areas.
And, of course, didn't some whack job start shooting people, saying it was God told her when it goes dark to shoot people? Didn't that happen someplace?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. I got the paper right in front of me.
Oh, my Lord.
That didn't happen.
You want to bet on this? I'll bet you. I'll wager you.
True story. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I thought we were talking D.
Hang on really? Here, Big Wayne. Hang on. Todd, go ahead.
Happened in Florida. God told her to do it because of the solar eclipse.
Thank you.
They weren't even in the totalitarian part.
That's Florida for you.
Yes.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Wow. That is.
So there you go, Wayne. So it affects humans too.
Yeah, the thing is the eclipse didn't come suddenly. It was a gradual shift. You know, so the bees can sense that.
Did you have glasses, Wayne?
No.
Oh, did you look at it?
No, I didn't. All right. I kind of peeked up. Like,
me too. I tried doing it through my fingers.
What a protection. Opening his little fingers like little kids do. I mean, when they're peeking.
Well, I did pay extra for my glasses to have the glare on. Stuff on there, so I figured that would work.
I like Cowboy Dave's thing he put on Facebook or whatever, where he had the what's the thing called, the straining pot type thing,
the
colander. Hit the calendar with all the different dots coming through. I'll be able to see this thing really good. That was very creative.
I thought it was cool. And like you said, here it was. You said 86% that, but I looked at it through the right glasses. But yeah, that's kind of a cool thing to see.
Oh,
that's
very cool.
Very different.
All right. Well, Big Wayne, we sure appreciate your expertise.
And Wayne,
we were so proud of you yesterday listening to you on the statewide network.
That was great.
That Wayne, was cool.
Somebody wants to listen to you on
that. Yeah, absolutely.
But that, if you, I know you do a lot of research, but that'd be interesting to see kind of what happened when it went dark, if that's different than, because you said,
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll post it on my Facebook. Okay. And if you guys want me to call in and talk about it, we can.
Absolutely.
What's the Facebook?
It's A-Frame Acres. So if you search A-Frame Acres, and then I post, that's my business page, and I post just information about pretty much mostly bees, but then other agriculture stuff. And then I do, you know, funny videos, and I'll actually do hive inspections so people can see inside. And my whole goal is just to kind of educate people of not only where their food comes from, but just provide some type of clarity with what they're buying, especially with my honey. You know, I do things that don't monetarily make sense. So I provide pollen analysis. So people that want to buy raw honey for their allergies, I can say, hey, this is exactly what's in your honey, and just things like that. So I'm having a lot of fun with it, but learning a lot. You know, I haven't been beekeeping for very long. It's going to be my fifth year, but I do a lot of research, and I listen to all the experts and everything.
Hey, wait, I have to ask this question. A lady I was with the other day talked about their kid has eczema. Is that what you call it?
Eczema,
and that raw honey is really good for that. Is that true?
Well, raw honey, I don't know if it's good for that, but raw honey definitely is good for, has a lot of skin healing properties. In fact, a lot of women's skin health care now, the big thing is made from raw honey. So in fact, you know, back in the day, that was the original. If you had a wound, you could put raw honey on it to keep it from getting infected. And the reason is when honeybees bring back nectar from a flower, that bee of a forager bee, they don't put that into the cell in the hive. They pass it on to the house bees, the worker bees. And when they pass that on from their honey stomach, when they basically regurgitate it, they're not throwing it up. It's coming from a different part, but they're adding enzymes to that to that honey. And one of the enzymes is has that the property. It's hydrogen peroxide. It's a byproduct. And so that's why you can put raw honey on a small wound and it'll help for healing and things like that. So there's a lot of, you know, these animals can care for themselves. It's just you have to, like, these have propolis that they'll collect from pine trees and sap and everything. They use that for diseases within the hive, and these are for all kinds
of stuff, we spent billions on big pharma.
I know. She said raw honey is one of the things they use that really works. Big Wayne, thank you so very much, buddy. Don't be a stranger. Talk to you again next week, I hope.
Sounds good.
Thanks, brother. Back after this.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Great song. Love this song. Remember this song?
I do.
How many of the things that he mentions would you be able to talk about?
That Wayne just talked about?
No, that Billy Joel talks about. This.
Oh. Well, I...
Listen.
I heard his other... That other guy that did the... Remember you and I met them? He did that other version?
Yeah.
That one I could talk a little bit more about.
But that's almost like, I know a teacher that used that for his history class.
Yeah.
And he'd give everybody a different thing to do a report on something that was mentioned.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so,
too. That's a good assignment.
I think it's a great song. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. By the way, you know, we were talking about that thing earlier. I said, where does the term come from? Don't even have a pot to pee in.
Yeah.
It was about the people that would sell their
urine
stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you ever hear the term the whole nine yards?
I know what that means.
Oh, you do? Go ahead.
That is a... That is how many yards fit in a concrete cement truck.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
And people would say, you know, they're pointing, goes, you know what? I'll take the whole nine yards.
No.
That is how many cubic yards are in a cement truck.
I disagree.
What's your version of
from
this?
From World War I, 9 yards was the most you could put on for machine gun belts. And it would be, we got to go with the whole 9 yards.
Okay, I think I'm right, but that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But I would have no clue how much is in a cement truck.
Well, I've just told you.
So I looked it up. These are listed, not saying this is all of it. Capacity of a ready-made concrete truck,
coal
truck, or garbage truck.
And that's the top one, so that's probably the most significant. Go ahead.
Amount of cloth needed for a Scottish kilt.
Okay.
Length of a piece of World War II military equipment.
Okay. There you go.
Third.
Yardage in American football and other types of yards, blah, blah, blah. So
why do you think yours, just because it might be alphabetical, the way it's listed?
Let's see, Johnny. Concrete.
World War II.
Battle.
Yeah, you didn't say battle. Machine gun. There's a lot of letters down the road there. Just saying.
All right. Okay. Anyway, that's, yes.
I love those things. You and I are on the same wavelength with those things. I can go on and on and on.
We could do a segment on the show.
I think we should.
Because I will tell you, I will hear like somebody or my mom or somebody say something. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? And I'll go Google it. It's like, wow. And it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And that totally makes sense. It just brings it back to like, okay, that's where that came from. But some of the stuff, I can't think of that right now. That'll be fun, Todd. I'm in. I'll play that game.
I was on a great website last night about that, and I have no idea how I got on it or how to re-find it.
How do you
But it was really great. It went through so many different things. It's unbelievable.
Like, just something, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
And we'll just...
It was all those kinds of things. Right. I love those kind of things.
Because we...
Somebody help us out. If you know any folks, text us. Let us know.
But we've been saying that, hearing that for 50 years.
And even Dirt Poor, I mean, this was an easy one, but it was where they, you know, they had dirt floors. You know, didn't have a floor. Yeah. Couldn't afford a floor.
So we got a segment open at 7:30. Maybe we'll open up the text lines and take some time to talk about it.
7:30, and a saying that you've heard your whole life, and you finally did a little research.
Yeah.
What does it really mean?
Where did it come from?
Right, where did it come from?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of that stuff is tied back to the wars, though. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wish I could find that. You ever do that at 3 in the morning? You find something really interesting, then you have no idea where it was and what you came up with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that's tied back to the Italians with the mafia, too. I remember reading... I'm going to find that.
All
I enjoy that stuff as well. So.
Me too.
Anyway, I thought you were going to ask me how much of the stuff that Wayne talked about could I remember, but
yeah.
He is an interesting
guy.
He's
unbelievable. He's so intelligent when it comes to that stuff. It's mind-boggling.
But I think what's cool
about... I mean, if they did a course on beekeeping, wouldn't he be a great guy to teach it?
Totally.
I think he should host seminars. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be a lot of people that would like to say, hey, I'll get a couple of hives or whatever.
Or just to learn about
right.
it.
Just to learn
about
it. You
don't have to get a beehive to do that. Yeah, because everybody knows of
where
bees.
Where do you start? Who do you go to
bees?
Learn? Yeah.
Are they dangerous? Why do they do what they do? I mean, should you kill off bees? The answer is no to that. But, I mean, Wayne could really explain why not.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So. You know one thing I want to ask him, I always forget, because he lives kind of out in the country, obviously out in the country. Wouldn't you think that would attract bears? And things like that with the honey.
Hmm.
Like, poo?
Wouldn't you think they'd be able to smell it and sense it, and you'd have bears tearing into those? I mean, we got a little a deer feeder up at our camp, and bears tear that thing apart on a regular basis. Don't you think they would be able to smell that honey and tear those apart?
Like Pooh Bear, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the...
No, that's true. That's,
yeah.
He always went after the honey.
Absolutely. I mean, they
but
go after bird feeders like crazy.
I don't think bees... I wonder if bees don't sting bears.
Oh, I don't think that would bother them, though. I don't think bears would be bothered by that. But, I mean, you would think they'd be able to just knock those little hives apart. They're just wooden boxes.
Because if they're like dogs, their sense of smell is like...
Unbelievable.
A thousand times better
than
ours.
Well, not only that, but I watched that show, not Naked and Afraid, but kind of like that, but the people were dressed. It was up in Alaska or Northern Canada, and they were, you know, they were allowed to take like five things, like a hatchet, a pot, whatever. You could take almost any, but no firearms.
Oh, so
okay.
Take that machine gun with the 9 yards.
I know. But anyway, it was in an area where there were grizzly bears. I mean, these people are, and I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid of grizzly bears.
Well, John, really? Wow, that's weird. Most people just love them. Everybody's afraid of grizzly bears. That was, jeez. Yeah, I'm afraid of grizzly bears. Oh, what's wrong with you?
What I'm saying is this. I think you could stare down or scare away a black bear for the most part, unless they're with cubs. You know, you could scare them away.
Right. How?
What?
I don't think so.
Oh, those, my God. Did you ever go to the dump at night when the bears come out to forage and you honk that cartmer and they scatter like you can't believe?
I've never been to the dump.
You've gotten your enjoyment from the dump, shooting rats or coming up to watch the bears forage?
No.
Okay, quick poll.
No.
Quick
Not
poll.
Even close, Johnny.
Quick poll.
That one is going to be okay. No, I mean, I
how many
say,
people
okay.
have gone to a dump to watch bears forage and or shot rats?
Okay, that's a good question.
To learn how to shoot.
People may have gone to the dump with
to
their grandpa.
To learn how to shoot, going to shoot rats at the dump.
Okay, that is going to be maybe
how many people
10%.
Have done that? No, I bet 25. 20. But what I'm saying is, I'm getting back to the TV show.
Okay.
The reason they told these people, no matter what, you cannot leave any food out, no matter how little it is, no matter what, because bears can go back 10 years remembering where food was.
No.
10 years. Grizzly
awesome.
Bears can go back 10 years. So when they go out during the day, it's not like they're just wandering around. In their mind, they're saying, okay, there was something here one time. And then they go to, it's like there was something here one time. They got this whole thing in their mind where they go out when they forage.
Man, and I can't remember where I put my phone.
Oh, really? We didn't notice that live yesterday, did we, Todd?
Wow, 10 years they remember. I don't know. I guess you could just study that. Wow.
How do salmon know where to go back and spawn?
I don't know any of that stuff, John. I don't know any of that.
And you've never watched bears forage in a dump?
No.
Mind-boggling.
I think you wait till this poll comes in.
Mind-boggling.
You're in your own little world over
there. I don't
there.
Think I am.
Just so you know, it's 75 to 25 right now. Yes.
Yeah! Give me a bell.
I'm surprised.
Come
by
on.
That.
Give me
so
a bell.
No, it
give me
just
a
started.
Bell.
75% of what? How many? Okay. Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Did
no.
you really go to the dump and shoot rats? I don't think so.
Jill's coming up next from Play Bistro.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming up Tuesday on Nat Nair on Air, three headlines and a lie. This time, it's Greg Bach's turn. Don't miss it.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them. With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise. No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures. It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.